Blog Talk Radio.
Young Tupac Beef, and this is Real Talk, Real People Show. The show that is designed to delve in history, to go back in time, not for a warm, fuzzy feeling, to ascertain and do critical analysis as to what mistakes we made to get us in the situation we find ourselves in today, and how to rectify and our remedy those situations. Some cases we can, some cases we don't, and some cases we shouldn't do anything extra. If our brothers and sisters found out in time past. You see, once mistakes are made and Yah tells you to do something else, it's not incumbent upon you to take it upon yourself to be presumptuous to do whatever you want to do or however you want to do it and think that would suffice. You only find yourself in much more trouble. But before we get started in our studies, I often like to make mention of contemporary issues. They have voted for the second time to impeach Donald J. Trump of New York City. And I heard some of the goings on with some of the representatives. I wasn't heartbroken over anything they said because I know the mind of my enemies. And sometimes, even in dire situations, your enemies never would let up. They'll look for another means or opportunity to get at you, as you will find out further in our studies. They won't let up. So I wasn't heartbroken or surprised, and neither should you. But you should remain focused on what Yah would have you do. Therein lies your protection and your recovery. Also, I thought about something because I heard it on the Neely Fuller Jr. show as I was listening. And he was saying something about the great Titanic. You know, the unsinkable Titanic. It can't be sunk. On its first maiden voyage. Yes, it sunk. And it took down a lot of passengers with it. Trump reminds me of the great Titanic. The unsinkable Donald J. Trump. He's going down. It seems like he's about to take some supporters with him. You know, he just put out this latest statement. He sort of threw his supporters under the bus. He sort of implied, suggested, and inferred. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't know they were going to do things like that. You know, I don't support that kind of activity. No, they got it twisted. And they should be held to the fullest extent of the law. Just like the great Titanic. He's going down, and he's taking others with him. The unsinkable Titanic. You know, he's quite unlike our founding father, one of our kings, King Dawood. Was cut from a different cloth, a different spirit. I imagine that's why Yah loved him so much. He didn't try to put it on everybody else. He didn't try to escape responsibility. He took ownership. And he tried to remedy the problem. As a matter of fact, he tried to remedy the problem so much he asked for a new thinker. He didn't want to think the way he used to think. He didn't want to do the things he used to do. That's why I suspect he asked for a new thinker, unlike some of us. Some of us want to have the same old thinker when we wake up from our delusion, when we wake up from our depravity, when we wake up from our rebellious nature. We want to have the same old thinker. We won't humble ourselves and submit ourselves to Yah and say, Yah, hey, you right. Yom Suf is wrong. Yom Suf been wrong. Yom Suf was born wrong. Yom Suf is crooked than a dog's hind leg. And Yom Suf need a new thinker. I'm thinking to love you, Yah, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. It thirsts after righteousness. So I don't do the things I used to do. Matter of fact, I don't even like the things I used to do. See, that's real humility. That's real sorrow. Not unlike what this so-called man Donald J. Trump put on television just minutes ago. No, it wasn't me. No. Well, they got it all twisted. You know, we're going to get y'all. We're going to get y'all to the full extent of the law. Those are the kind of leaders these people got. Well, only thing I can say about that, just like a fellow once said from New York City, you reap what you sow and chicken do come home to roost. That being said, welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. But before we get started in our studies, let me bring my brother and friend home from New York City. He's from New York City. Cottrell. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, with Israel. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
May he bless you also, brother. Shalom.
Said a lot, man. The unsinkable Titanic. They say even God couldn't sink it.
Oh, isn't that right? That's why it's rested. That's why it's rested at the bottom of the ocean now, right?
on his maiden journey. What they call it, maiden voyage.
Maiden voyage. First voyage.
Yeah, the Most High don't like arrogancy. You know, it would have been good enough to say that it's unsinkable, but you're going to throw me in it, that even God couldn't sink it. And Most High has something for him.
The unsinkable Titanic.
That's like the shuttle, the Challenger, that went up and got blown up.
Exactly.
It's like, who you challenging?
Hmm.
So why would you name a ship named Challenger? Who are you challenging?
Right. You had hidden agenda, hidden motives.
And they do.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And I was listening to these politicians today.
Yeah, I listened to them too, Cottrell. Sad sack.
They call it a republic, right?
Exactly.
Meaning that the people rule.
Right.
And the lesson that we're reading is how the people led the people astray. It wasn't about the people ruling, it was about the Most High ruling. And the ones that he chose to lead the people, when they rule, they talking about, let's get a leader, a captain, to go back to Egypt. They lost out on their blessing.
Exactly.
And imagine that, going back into Egypt. You think the Egypts would have welcomed them with open arms?
They didn't think it through, Cottrell.
No.
They act on emotions, feelings, not facts.
So in my imagination, had those Israelites gone back to Egypt, the Egyptians would have beat them down.
Yeah, man, they had lost the whole army because of them. You think they were going to show up for them coming back? What y'all coming? Man, look at them fools come back here. Oh, man, you know, my cousin was in that army, man. You know, got lost in the Red Sea. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a welcome party for them. Okay.
And they took all our gold and our fine twine linen.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it back.
Exactly.
Y'all bring it back?
You think we put some work on it. The few we leave out after we kill, well, we're going to put a heartbreak hotel on it.
So they had Stockholm Syndrome before it was even a term.
Exactly.
And we suffer from the same disease. Because we think our press is going to save us somehow, some way. They're going to change. But I was listening to them today, and they rely on the words of their founding fathers, George Washington, what Abraham Lincoln said, what Dr. Martin Luther King said, what all these men, right? They killed Abraham Lincoln, right? George Washington had slaves, so he wasn't really about liberty for all men that were created by God. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening like, y'all give credence to these men who had slaves. Lincoln, y'all shot him. You bringing up Dr. Martin Luther King, y'all shot him. I'm like, wow, these people are definitely demonic, or they expect people to continue to be fooled by their illusions.
Well, I would say, God, you're getting rather desperate, grasping for straws to look for a solution.
And I don't think none is coming too soon, because these dudes is like holding their ground, drawing lines in the sand. The people that supported Donald Trump as he was lying to the people that he won by a landslide. You know why he said he won by a landslide, right?
Well, that country.
Because he did with the white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He won them by a landslide, but he didn't win everybody by a landslide, like you said.
They don't think that your vote counts because you're 3/5 of a human being if you voted.
Exactly. So that's why they want your vote in Pennsylvania, your vote in Wisconsin, and your vote in Georgia. They want them kicked out because your vote don't count.
And you know those are the only places they targeted, right?
Exactly.
Why is that?
You already know the answer to that, brother. I think that sort of that question that you're posing is rhetorical in nature.
No question. Because if you can't see it, then you definitely want to be blind. Stevie Wonder could see more than you.
Man, what you said? You know, and I saw a country when we was coming on to the show. This Navy SEAL. He was sort of putting on a crocodile tail. You know, I had 24 years in the Navy, and I wasn't no terrorist. You know, there's a lot of things went on up there. I didn't like what you, okay, if a lot of things were going on up there, you like, anybody made you go up in that building. If you saw them folk doing something that they wasn't doing, anybody made you go up in that building. You could have easily walked away, Chucky. Just walk away. No, you went up in the building.
Walk away, Chucky, huh?
Walk away, Chucky. Just walk away.
But he don't want to do the social distancing when they got a pandemic that's like, what they say, 75 times more contagious than the original one?
Exactly. The variant is, you can easily get it much more than the original one.
Yeah, they can't justify what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't imagine if our people went in there looking for justice the way they did. Man, all hell would have broke loose.
Well, Katria, who can imagine someone going through the hallways in the U.S. Capitol smearing their human feces on the wall and peeing in the hallways? You got to be some sick stuff, son. Okay?
And they got conned by the con man, because what did he do? He threw him right under the bus, didn't he?
Exactly.
Like we said. He's like, I didn't sanction this. I didn't have no part in, you know, telling them to go be violent. But yes, you did.
Yeah. You've been saying it. You've been saying it.
I wish I messaged to them.
Right. I mean, it just didn't start 6 months ago. You've been stoking the flames of so-called racism and exceptionalism, universal white race supremacism. From the moment you came down those stairways with your wife, even before you became president, you've been stoking those flames. And so this is the outcome.
And that's not the first time they took over a government building. They did it in a little earlier last year when they went to the Michigan State building with arms.
Yeah, Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah, right. They went in there. And they was threatening to kidnap the governor and execute her.
Yeah.
And what kind of repercussions?
They had a dry run, Godrell, there. And they saw wasn't much done about it, just a few bad apples. But for the most part, everybody applauded us from our section of the university, and they applauded it. They thought we were something special. So let's take the show on the road. Let's take it up to the U.S. Capitol. They gave us a hand slap there. They got a few of us, but for the most part, let's take the show on the road. They took it up there.
Y'all, Suf, y'all talk about universal white racist supremacism too much, man.
Mm-hmm.
Your show is racist. Y'all talk about universal white racist supremacy all the time, almost every night. Okay.
Well, you know why I talk about it all the time? All the time, because that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the world universe speaks, not only in the United States of America, this Western Hemisphere, but look at the world in totality. Who has control of everything? Who's running everything? Who's managing everything? Who has access to power and money, especially exploiting other people of other nations that are less than, that don't have the same might? And you unified together in your efforts in doing so. So I have to speak about the subject matter that is the most exploited, and which is universal white race supremacy. I'm not knocking. I'm just keeping it real. It is what it is, and it does what it does. It tells them they're better by virtue of their skin hue, simply alone. You're less than. I can come in your country. I can exploit your country. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it. And, well, we used to make linen. Don't make no more damn linen. Why? Because we said so. Ain't nobody going to buy it any damn way. What you going to do now is you're going to let us dig up diamonds, and we're going to dig up stuff for cell phones, and we're going to dig up oil and whatnot, and you're going to accept the money we're going to give you. Why? Because we said so. It ain't a damn thing you can do about it. It's called the World Bank Organization. And if you try anything, we'll starve you out. Okay? So what I'm saying, Cottrell, I have evidence to prove what I said. And so,
oh, yeah.
Although we have rebels among us, Cottrell, rebels among us, who sometimes seem to be our intimate enemies, but the universal enemy who has made these rebels among us is universal white race supremacy. So I will be negligent as a speaker for the Most High to point them out. And when I point out the rebels among us also, Cottrell, I call them the Walking Dead Negroes, okay?
Most High calls you the Watchman.
Okay.
And we need watchmen on the wall, watching what's going on. Because most of our people, they in another land, in their mind, and they can't see what's really going on. So the watchmen got to sound the alarm. The fact
right.
the alarm has been sounded, we see the evidence of you sounding the alarm. Because it's not just Donald Trump. You're talking about senators and councilmen
yep.
and Navy SEALs and police officers from all over the United States was in the mix of those people.
Exactly.
The senators
and, so,
and congressmen were supporting those people. Matter of fact, like 130 of them supporting the lie that
exactly.
Donald Trump is promulgating.
And the one thing you must understand about the nature of a universal white race supremacist, they love lying, misdirection, and confusion. See, and when you see one that's spouting lies, misdirection, and conclusion, lies, misdirection, and confusion, you can about suspect that that's a universal white race supremacist. The old Goma boy from Goma Pie from Texas. I mean, I thought I was listening to the Klan with a whole broad purple. I said, I thought, man, this is a Klan, really? Did you hear me talking? Old Goma Pie from Texas. You know, the old Goma boy from Texas. I thought I was listening to the Grand Wizard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's trying to compare the marches of the summer of Black Lives Matter with what the white universal racist supremacists did with the Capitol
right.
building.
Right.
And there's no comparison because just like them, right, they walked into, you know, Capitol buildings or state buildings armed to the teeth and were able to walk out unarrested, unmolested, you know, with no charges. Donald Trump expects the same thing. He
exactly.
expects, you know, to walk out scot-free of the crimes he's committed based on the fact that he violated his oath of office, according to them.
And see, you have to understand, we were marching for safety and security in our communities, not being executed by the police. They're race soldiers in uniforms, not being executed by them. And did you know, Cottrell, and fellow students, they like to meddle us? Some of those very people that was at that said they were meddling. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. What the hell? What they got to do with y'all going up in the theater? I mean, what? But everything has to do with it. Everything has to do with it. They meddling. My boy from Minneapolis. 8 minutes and 57 seconds with that knee on his neck, and they had time to focus on what he was saying before his death and Melly, I can't breathe. Okay, they thought that was funny while they were breaking in the building, the U.S. Capitol. So you must understand the mindset of universal right, race, and privilege. They ain't gonna never let off your ass, okay? They ain't gonna never forget about you. They ain't got no love for you. I don't care how many votes they give you. I don't care how many marches they give you. I don't care how many times they let you be. The mindset of a universal right race supremacist is written in stone, and he ain't got no love for you. And you will see this in our studies as we continue along. Our Moabite cousins had that mindset. They had a leader, And he went, they sent for a guy to put a spell on him. Put a spell on him. And he said, I can't do that. Well, where do we go here? Can you put a spell on him? I can't do that. What if we stand right here? Can we put a spell on him? Oh, I can't do that. What if we stand right here? Can you put a spell on him? They don't never give up. Right? You got to understand the mindset of our enemies. They don't give up. You may give up, and you may have a Willie Lynch and a Stockholm Syndrome in their regards, but they don't give up. Go ahead, Contrail.
Yeah, they don't love us. Michael Jackson said they don't really care about us. Yeah. They ain't like we trying to stage a coup or overthrow of the government or make America an all African-American nation. No, we ain't never tried to do that. But no. Trust me, they fear us more than anything. And why is that? Why y'all fear us so much? Why? Tell me why. You make it so hard for us to even make a daily living, make it hard for our families, our children are not being educated on par with your children. Your children got the advantages that our children don't have. But y'all still so focused on us and what we do and where we at. And we ain't really plotting and scheming to take over the nation. You know, y'all upset because a brother was in office and y'all think that shouldn't be. But that's crazy. If y'all really about what y'all say y'all about, freedom and democracy,
right,
a republic.
Crazy. Right, according to their democracy. Their democracy, you get the vote, you get in. But I guess they said their vote means they get in and you stay out. That's what their votes mean. All right. Well, Cottrell, let's get started. We spent a whole lot of time talking about this. Shall we, Cottrell?
No question, brother.
Okay. Turn to chapter 15. Okay, let's talk about ourselves. Bar Mitzvah, 15 chapter. You know, we're coming off that the brothers and sisters was complaining, as Katya alluded to, and talking about going back to Mizraim, talking about dying in the wilderness. Then when they found out the Most High wasn't playing with them, they had some get right, but it was too much, too little, too late. But they still wanted to continue on, and the Most High showed them. No. When I said something, I mean what I said. And I said what I mean. A lot of y'all, they told y'all a lot of this about y'all, falsely. That y'all changes his mind. He's fickle-minded. And that he can change the way he's worshipped by giving you Christianity. And he can just conjure up some Yahshua and some Holy Spirit and some crosses and whatnot. Because he's so fickle-minded. He like us. But y'all has told you, my ways are not your ways, and I ain't like you. I say what I mean, and I mean what I said. Okay? I say what I mean, and I mean what I said. See, some of y'all got it twisted, unfortunately. You're miseducated. That's why y'all need these studies, okay? Y'all don't play no games. Does it, Cottrell? Y'all don't play no games, does it?
Not at all. And we didn't learn how to depend on him, as opposed to dependent on men. As we see back in ancient times, they depended on the opinions and the counsel of men, as opposed to relying on Yah.
Well, that's what got our founding fathers and mothers in a whole bunch of trouble. Leaning to their own understanding and listening to men. Yah said, go into that nation, don't have no fear, don't have no trepidation. And 10 of those spies came back, said, oh, Lord, oh, no, man, Yah. Oh, but this is big fellas, man. Big, very big. Make us look like grasshoppers and cause calamity and fear-mongering among the nation. And it lit in the fire. They got emotional. But there was two men of a different spirit, cut from a different cloth. Always been among us. Always been among us, these type men and women. Of a different spirit, cut from a different cloth. Yahshua.
And therein lies the problem.
Right.
Because when Moses chose those 70 elders, all hell started breaking loose. First, Miriam and his brother Aaron start criticizing him. Mm. And then you get the chaos in the camp now, where they send out the spies to spy out the land for a mission to show that the land was good, but they want to come back and cause dissent because they don't like Moses being in command.
They're trying to undermine his authority. So they both have this conflict. So let's go on with our studies. Thank you, Cartrell. The Elohim in chapter 15, some of y'all call it Numbers, but we call it by its name, by Mitzvah, chapter 15. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the Israelite people, and said it in. When you enter the land that I'm giving you to settle in, and will present an offering by fire to the Elohim for the herd or for the flock, be it a burnt offering or a sacrifice, in fulfillment of a vow explicitly ordered. If you say a vow and you explicitly ordered a vow, you got to honor that vow. Or a free will offering, or a fixed occasion, producing an order pleasing to the Elohim. The person who presents the offering to the Elohim shall bring it, bring as a meal offering, a tenth of a measure of choice flour, with a quarter of hin of oil mixed in. You shall also offer with the burnt offering or the sacrifice a quarter of a hin of wine as a libation for each sheep. In case of a ram, you shall present as a meal offering 2/10 of a measure of choice flour, with a third of hin of oil mixed in, and a third of a hin of wine as libation, as an offering of pleasing odor to the Elohim. And if it is an animal from the herd that you offer to the Elohim as a burnt offering or as a sacrifice, in fulfillment of a vow explicitly ordered, uttered by yourself, or as an offering of well-being, there should be offered a meal offering along with the animal, 3/10 of a measure of choice flour, with a hin of oil mixed in. And a libation you shall offer half a hin of wine, these being offering by fire a pleasing odor to the Elohim. Specification and codification. You don't have to come up with your own measurements. The Most High has given you your measurement. Only thing you have to do, the Most High is teaching you, even in your sacrifices, follow instructions. I have the codification. I have the specification. You don't have to lean to your own understanding. Thus shall be done with each ox, with each ram, with any sheep or goat, as many as you offer. You shall do thus with each one, as many as there are. Every citizen, when presenting an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Elohim, shall do so with them. And when throughout the ages, a stranger, who is the stranger? A person of a different nation, who has taken up residence with you, and one who lives among you, will present and can an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Elohim, as you do. So shall it be done by the rest of the congregation. That stranger can do so too. Because there shall be one law for you and for the resident stranger. Each of you shall be under the law when it comes to me, when it comes to offering sacrifices to me. It shall be a law for all times throughout the ages. You and the stranger, the different nations, shall be a lack. You should be one and the same before the Elohim when you bring those sacrifices to me. The same ritual and the same rules shall apply to you and to the stranger, the ones of a different nation who resides among you.
When we dwell in our land.
Yeah, in our land. And they're residing. Right. And they're residing among us. I ain't talking about somebody coming visiting from a different nation. But if a person of a different nation decides to take up living in our settlements, his sacrifice or her sacrifice offering shall be seen before the Elohim the same way as ours, one and the same. I'm not talking about somebody visiting. But if they're living among us, the Most High sees them one and the same if they offer those sacrifices. The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the Israelites' people, said to them, when you enter the land, our land, to which I am taking you, and you eat of the bread of the land, you should set aside as a gift to the Elohim the first year of your baking. You should set aside a loaf as a gift. You should set it aside as a gift like the gift from the threshing floor. You should make a gift to the Elohim from the flour, from the first year of your baking throughout the ages. If you unwittingly, you just forgot about it, fail to observe any one of the commandments that the Elohim has declared to Moses, anything that the Elohim has enjoined upon you through Moses from the day that the Elohim gave the commandment and on through the ages. If this is done unwittingly, you just slip your mind through the inadvertence of the community. The whole community, if you are in error, shall present one bull of the herd as a burnt offering, or offering a pleasing odor to the Elohim, with its proper meal offering and libation, and one he-goat as a sin offering. The priest shall make expiation for the whole Israelite community, and they shall be forgiven. Go ahead, Gartrell.
They didn't use a lamb, they used a bull?
Mm-hmm. For the whole community.
Right, so when they say that this man on the cross is the lamb that made the sacrifice, what did y'all really require?
A whole bull, a bull for the whole community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A big difference, ain't it?
That's a big difference. That's why they didn't put their study in correctly. They got it twisted. The priest shall make expiation for the whole Israelite community, and they shall be forgiven, for it was an error. And for their error, they have bought their offering and offering by fire to the Elohim, and their sin offering before the Elohim. The whole Israelite community and the strangers, people of different nations residing among them, us, shall be forgiven too. For it happened to the entire people through the error, Israelites and strangers alike. In case it is an individual who has sinned unwittingly, he shall offer a she-goat in his first year as a sin offering. The priest shall make expiation before the Elohim on behalf of the person who erred, and for the sin unwittingly.
Not a male goat. It got to be a female goat.
A she-goat. Mm-hmm. Or a ewe. Okay? Making such expiation for him that it may be forgiven. For the citizen among the Israelites, and for the stranger, one of a different nation, who resides among them. You should have one ritual for anyone who acts in error. Not two. Not one different ritual for the stranger, the different nation, and not one ritual for the Israelite people. One ritual. But the person, be it citizens or stranger, one of a different nation, who acts defiantly, reviles the Elohim, that person shall be cut off from among his people, because he has spurned the word of the Elohim and violated his commandment. That person shall be cut off. He bears his or her gift. Once, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they came upon a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those that found him, as he was gathering wood, brought him before Moses and Aaron and the whole community. He was placed in custody, for it had not been specified what should be done to him. Then the Elohim said to Moses, "The man shall be put to death. The whole community shall pelt him with stones outside the camp." So the whole community took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Elohim had commanded Moses. The Elohim said to Moses as follows, "Speak to the Israelite people, instruct them to make for themselves fringes on the corners of their garments throughout the ages," not the whole garment, on the corners of their garments, Let them attach a cord of blue to the fringe on each corner. That shall be your fringe. Look at it. Recall all the commandments of the Elohim. Observe them so that you do not follow your heart and your eyes and your lustful urge. You don't be caught up in your feelings. Thus you shall be reminded to observe my commandments and to be holy to your Elohim. I, Yah, am your Elohim who brought you out of the land of Mizraim to be your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. Cartrell, what say you?
I say that Yah is saying that to all the generations because we made a covenant that's everlasting. So what
right.
he said to our ancient fathers back then is that we pull for us today, that we remember to do everything that Yah has said in order for us to be holy unto our Creator. I don't know what the definition of holy is in Christianity, but holiness in the Old Testament means that you're following the commandments of the Most High God, because he brought us out of the land of Egypt to be our God. He told us not to follow after our own hearts and our own eyes. So don't believe your heart, your feelings, and don't even necessarily believe what your eyes see, because then you'll go wrong. Just trust in me, and I'll lead you in the way that I want you to go. How many of us can release and just follow Yah with blind faith and put our own agenda aside and put the fears that we see with our eyes aside and just trust in the Most High? Because I think the Father's looking at them giants and saying, we can't do it. No, Yah knew you can't do it. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, when you go into the land, not if you go into the land, when I take you into the land and you take the land that I promised you, because Yah's working the whole thing out. It ain't us working it out. It's Yah working it out for his glory.
Well, some Cartrell will use obeying the Sabbath, not in the land, for this certain incident that occurred right here. How do you rectify that with the fact that some will say, well, you know, we went in the land and that fellow ran and gathered some firewood and they brought him to Moses and then they stoned him. So that means whether we in the land or out of the land, you know, you supposed to honor the Sabbath. So what you said about that? Some people use to justify that contract. So what do you say to those naysayers?
I say to them that the Most High was training them, like the U.S. Marines train a newbie.
Right.
Because they wasn't ready to go into the land. And they wasn't doing the Torah or the laws that Moses gave them, which is why he said, when you get into the land. However, they were doing the Shabbat because you have to remember the Most High was providing them with manna. How many days?
7 days. Seven? Was it seven?
It was six days.
Six days. Mm-hmm.
He gave you enough for the seventh day.
Right.
Right? On the
exactly.
sixth day.
Right.
So they had that cycle going. And he told them, don't go out on the seventh day, right?
Right.
Because if they did, it wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because some went out on the Sabbath day, but it wasn't there, but they didn't get stoned. So being an ex-Marine, I can understand. You have to get the newbie's mind trained in that thinking and to think as a team, to work as a team, to not see yourself as an individual, but to see yourself as a unit. And they didn't even know. I have to concur with you. They didn't know what to do under those circumstances. Because they wasn't doing it.
They weren't doing it.
Right. So they brought
everybody was in sync with the orders that Moses had given when they left Egypt. So for him to be violating, going out and gathering sticks when the order was you wasn't supposed to do anything. They wasn't gathering the manna. They were just resting. So that cycle of rest was already there. It was set in motion.
Right. And so they didn't know what to do. So that's why they brought him before Moses and Aaron. And so to set the record straight for getting in the land as to the expectation of yourselves, Moses and Aaron was preparing yourself before you get. And but here's that you have to realize. A lot of these stories are convoluted and told over one another, not in sequential order. And you have to tell when did this happen? You understand the last chapter was talking about they were upset. They were fearful. They were in trepidation. And no, we ain't going in the cannon. Then they jump over. Either this happened before that, because they got slaughtered at Homa. And so you got to understand where was this story told, or this one story put in at some juncture? Because I kind of find it hard to understand that they were told not to go into the land of Canaan after they showed fear and trepidation. Then they got slaughtered, and then this incident took place. And so I believe this incident took place, but I don't think it took place sequentially as is written, because we find out these stories are told and they're put in place. And I don't think none of these stories are a lie. I believe all these stories are true, but they're not in sequential order. And sometimes you have to let some things just let it sink in, because you can't understand. Well, okay, they were supposed to go over to the land of Canaan. And when Caleb and the 10 spies came back to show fear and trepidation, caused calamity in the camp. And then they went into battle anyway, and they got slaughtered. And then it seems like the next day or previously, after the slaughter, this guy go and have collecting firewood. But these stories are told to get you in preparation for what you should be doing in your land. And as Cartier alluded to the fact, that manna was told to be collected for 6 days and one day of rest. And you have to look at the fact of this. Some went out to look for the manna on the 7th day. And they didn't find it. So these people, they were breaking the Sabbath. But this guy, I guess, he was pretty persistent. He went over and beyond. And it showed the brothers and sisters that all this extra y'all got going on, I'm trying to train y'all. This is something serious. Now, y'all need to take this to heart. And they didn't know what to do with the brother. So they brought him before Moses and Aaron. Oh, hey, Moses, you said we don't supposed to be collecting manna, you know, on the 7th day. And here this fella out here collecting wood. And what we going to do? Like he was testing him. Like they were testing Moses and Aaron.
And so, they were?
Yeah, they were testing him. And so Moses and Aaron, they met the test. I'm going to show y'all what you're supposed to do, okay? Do y'all think this is a game? You think I'm playing? You going to pick me and Aaron to play with? I'm going to show y'all something now. Don't pick me and Aaron to play with, okay? All right? People, you take him outside the camp and stone him, okay? Whoa, Lord. Oh, see, when you're playing with something, don't be playing with nothing, okay? This is something serious. That was Aaron and Moses was teaching them. Don't be playing. Don't pick us to play with. This ain't no game. Preparing them for getting into the land. I have to concur with you on that, Cartrell. Any more commentary, Cartrell?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
Except for the friends that we're supposed to be reminded, the clothes that we wear.
Yeah, okay.
Are governed by Yah's command and Yah's words.
Right.
Not by our own heart and not by our own eye.
Right.
So that takes discipline, because he says we go whoring after our heart and our eyes, what other people doing, why are they doing it like that, and then we get caught up.
Right.
So Most High carved that away for us, and we have to find out what it is.
Some of the fringes.
Just the lifestyle we live. We can't eat what other people eat.
Mm-hmm.
We can't wear the clothes other people wear. It's
mm-hmm.
about stuff that's mixed, and women can't wear men's clothes, and men can't wear women's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But other people do that, but we can't. So there's a whole list of things that the Most High commanded us as a lifestyle to live, and the ZCs are supposed to remind us of the lifestyle that we're supposed to live.
Yeah, they call unisex clothing. You know, and the Most High, you said you can't be wearing clothes like that. Unisex clothing, they call them now. Okay, chapter 16, at Bar Mitzvah. Give you a few seconds to get there. Now Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, betook himself along with Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliphaz, and sons of Peleth, descendants of Reuben. They took it upon themselves to rise up against Moses, together with 250 Israelites, princes of the community, chosen in the assembly, men of reputation, repute. They combined against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You've gone too far, for all the community are holy, all of them. The Elohim is in their midst. Why then do you rise yourself above the Elohim's congregation? Why then, Aaron and Moses, do you try to make yourself something special? Y'all done went too far." In fact, they were the one who went too far. You know, that's called what we do call that contrary when you reflect what's really going on in regards to yourself. And you transpose what you're doing onto someone else. When in actuality, it's you the one who went too far. And so it is in the case of these brothers. When Moses heard this, he humbled himself and fell on his face. Then he spoke to Korah and all of his company, saying, "Come morning, the Elohim will make known who is his and who is holy, and will grant him access to himself." Now, I tell you what, I ain't going to say nothing, what Moses said. I'm going to let the Most High speak, and will grant access to the one he has chosen. Let the Most High choose. "Do this, you Korah and all your band, take fire pans, and tomorrow put fire in them. Lay incense on them before the Elohim. Then the man whom the Elohim chooses, he shall be the holy one. You have gone too far, sons of Levi. You got beside yourself. You got puffed up in the chest." Moses said further to Korah, "Hear me, sons of Levi. Is it not enough for you that the community of Israel has set you apart from the community of Israel and giving you access to him to perform the duties of the Elohim tabernacle and to minister to the community and serve them? Is it not enough? Now that he has advanced you and all your fellow Levites with you, do you seek the priesthood too? You want Aaron's spot and his sons? Truly, is against the Elohim that you and all your company has banded together. Just because y'all got some numbers. For who is Aaron? Who is Aaron? Aaron ain't nothing that you should rail against him. Because you ain't railing against Aaron. You're railing against Yah. Who is Aaron?" Moses sent Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eli. But they were feeling sort of beside themselves. But they say, "We will not come. Is it not enough that you brought us from a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in this wilderness? That you would also lord over us, even if you had brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey and given us a possession of fields and vineyards? Should you gorge at those men's eyes? We ain't coming." Boy, they was feeling something special, wasn't it? Moses was aggrieved, and he went to the right channel just like all of us all do when we are grieved. Moses said to the Elohim, pay no regard to that oblation. I have not taken the ass of one of them. I ain't taken nothing from them. Nor have I wronged any one of them. I ain't did nothing to them. Moses said to Korah, tomorrow, you and your company appear before the Elohim, you, they, and Aaron. Each of you take his fire pan, lay incense on it. Each of you bring his fire pan before the Elohim. 250 fire pans. You and Aaron also bring your fire pans. Each of them took his fire pan and put fire on it, laid incense on it, took his place at the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle, as did Moses and Aaron. Korah, leaning to his own understanding, thinking himself rather something special, gathered the whole community against them at the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle. Then the presence of the Elohim appeared to the whole community. And the Elohim spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, y'all stand back. Y'all get back. Stand back from this community, that I may annihilate them in an instant. But they fell on their faces and said, because they were humble men, they knew where their source was, they knew where their strength was. Oh, Yah, sources of the breath of all flesh, when one man sinned, will you be wrathful with the whole community? Yah, don't do this. Don't do this. This on Korah. This on Dathan and Abiram. Don't do this to them. Don't do it to the whole community. Please. He said, when one man sinned, will you be wrathful with the whole community? The Elohim spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the community. And said, withdraw from the abodes of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Get away from them. If they right, they're going to get back. If they wrong, they're going to get caught up. Moses rode and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel following him. The elders of Israel were following Moses. And he addressed the community, saying, move away from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing that belongs to them, lest you be wiped out for all their sins. So everybody, they had their minds right. They withdrew from the abodes of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These brothers were leaning to their own understanding. They were talking something special, but they hadn't done anything special. And the brothers and sisters in that community, they knew what side their manner was butted. They knew what side their manner of heaven was butted on. They ain't seen Dathan and Abram and Korah do anything for anybody, but grab titles, lead to their own. Yo, go ahead.
They saw what happened to Aaron and his sons when they were consecrated, right?
Exactly.
Aaron lost two of his sons in the process, and the Most High told him, don't move. You can't more, because this is how serious this process is. This
exactly.
is what you're dealing with. And these men, they ain't went through the process, but they got the nerve to try to act like they went through the process. They may have been cleansed as Levites.
Just
and they had responsibilities under the priests, but they thought that they could elevate up higher to a higher level.
Oh, they got beside themselves. They was feeling sort of something special.
Yeah, why is just you, your brother, and your brother's sons? Was this a family affair? We all Levites. We all come from Kohath.
But here's the deal, Cartrell. Here's the deal, fellow students. It is so because Yah says it's so. That's all you need to know. Follow the instructions, follow the specifications, follow the codifications. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to know. And you don't need to do no extra. And don't take it upon yourself titles that don't apply to you. Okay?
And imagine that. Date them in the barroom and they camp with own. It wasn't just date them in the barroom, it was on. And they talking trash. Like,
man,
we ain't going to
loud.
See Moses.
Talking
Moses ain't this, Aaron ain't that. But when them people saw Moses and the elders coming at them.
And the elders, they got out the way.
Moses said, don't trust any stuff. Get away from me, man.
They knew something was going down. They had already seen Moses in work. They already seen Moses in action. They already seen Aaron in action. They already seen the 70 elders in action. They ain't seen nobody.
And a barroom and own. They got nothing to match it.
Exactly.
Even if they got 250 men.
Yeah, they got 250 men. That's what it means. They thought they had safety in numbers. Now, Dathan and Abram had come out. They finally come out of the house. And they stood at the entrance of their tent like they something special with their wives and their children and their little ones. And Moses said, by this you shall know. It ain't Moses. It ain't Aaron. That it is the Elohim who sent me to do all these things. That they are not of my own divide. I didn't figure this out on my own.
So stop blaming me.
Yeah, don't try to put this on me. If these men die as men do, if their lot be the common fate of all mankind, if it was not the Elohim who sent me, but if the Elohim brings about something unheard of, so that the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all their belongings to them, and they go down alive. They going down alive. It's a Sheol. They ain't going to die. They going down there alive. You should know that these men have spurned the Elohim, not Moses, not Aaron. I didn't devise any of this.
You seen some of them same calls?
Now, say it again, my brother.
I say, you seen some of them sinkholes that be worldwide? Sinkhole?
Yeah, I've seen them.
One guy in Florida was in his bed, and his whole house got swallowed up, and his brother couldn't save him.
Oh, man. Well, that's about what's been happening to him, Cartrell. Scarcely had Moses finished speaking all these words when the ground under them burst asunder. And the earth opened his mouth and swallowed them up, their household, all Korah's people, and all their possessions. They went down alive into Sheol for all that belongs to them. And the earth closed back up on them, over them. And they vanished from the midst of the congregation. All Israel around them fled in Sheol, Lord. For they said the earth might swallow us up. Also, a fire went forth from the Elohim and consumed the 250 men offering those incense unrequested of the Most High.
Ain't that what happened to Aaron and his son?
Exactly.
I mean, Aaron's son?
Them two boys doing something they had no business. And it happened to 250 other brothers doing something they ain't got no business. Thinking that Aaron and Moses was trying to run something, was throwing a crook and a hook on somebody. They thought that they was leaning to their own understanding, but in actuality, Dathan, Abram, Korah was leaning to their own understanding. And not only did it cost them and their whole household, but it cost those 250 fools that was out there going along with the madness, thinking themselves something special. Trying to take hold titles and authority and positions that they had no business taking. That's why I'm simply Yom Suf Arif. I don't have any titles. I ain't looking for none. And if I do, if the Most High says you to take the garbage out the temple, I'm good with that. See, some of you are too much stuck on titles. That's part of your problem. Instead of being humble before Yah. You know, Moses was a stuttering brother. He could even talk right. And the Moses just called, you may have a little certificate on your wall, and you may be a good orator. You think you ought to have a certain position, allot yourself a certain title. If anything don't strike at you in this story, is all strike you, strike a chord in you about being humble, letting the Most High direct and order your steps, leaning not to your own understanding, this ought to strike a chord to you. Not thinking yourself more than what you ought, this ought to strike a chord with you. Because, see, if you understand Cartrell and I on this show, we don't subscribe titles to us. We don't tell grown folk what to do. We just tell folk what Yah said you all do. Now, if you take issue with what Cartrell and Yom Suf is saying, Yom Suf and Cartrell ain't devising nothing. If you spurn Yom Suf and Cartrell, you ain't heard nothing. Because that ain't what we say. So we ain't got a dog in the hunt. We just bringing a dog to the hunt. Them Yah's dog. So if you got a problem with Yah's dog, you take it up with Yah. Contrary to me, we ain't got a dog in the hunt. If you want to bring a dog in the hunt, you think you something special, you go right ahead and do that. Just like them 250 brothers. Just like Korah, Abraham, and Dathan. The ground may open up on you. Because you don't know specification, obviously. You don't know codification, obviously. And you sure don't know humiliation, obviously. That being said, Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend?
See, that the Most High is serious about this nation that he gave birth to from Egypt. So now, and you can see the same, you know, issues with our people today that we had in the past. People want to elevate. People who had titles wanted to be bigger than what they were meant to be, and they paid the price with Yah because you're missing it around in his realm, the spiritual realm. And it's unfortunate that the earth had to open up to swallow those people up because all they really had to do was, you know, go along with the plan. They didn't have an alternative plan. All they had to do was go along with Yah's plan because it was working successfully for them up at this point in time. They got out of Egypt out from under oppression, and Yah was about to lead them into the land that he promised our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they had already been there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had dwelt in that land. So they should have the same confidence that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had as a nation. And they would have had half the problems that they had in dealing with they were dealing with in the wilderness. So they had to die off because they had that slave mentality, and the Most High was training their children to be better. So we should be being trained better because we can see and analyze because we have time on our hands to see the idiosyncrasies of our ancient fathers, and we carry some of the same characteristics. We need to learn how to focus internally on how to get in lockstep with the Most High. So these lessons are important because we have some of the same characteristics today.
Exactly, Katra. Unfortunately, sadly, you're right. Instead of humbly seeking Yah, some of us are more inclined to seek, you know, one thing you just said, Katra. And I'm gonna underline that. Instead of seeking what Yah would have you to do, unfortunately, some of us like to seek positions of title. And one thing, Cartrell, you see it, and don't have any answers for nothing else. Korah, Abram, and Dathan didn't have any answers for anyone. just want to seek position. I like that, Doctor. I like that. Go right ahead, brother.
No, I'm done, man.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have no alternative plan. What was they going to do? Take people back to Egypt?
Die in the wilderness? They didn't have no solution. They just hating on Aaron and Moses. That's all.
And that's crazy that we haven't loved each other from then until now. We have this internal hatred. It ain't start with Willie Lynch, bro.
No, it didn't. Willie Lynch just doubled down on it, but we've been at it all the time. Willie Lynch magnified what we already had us. And because
and that's something inside of ourselves that we have to conquer.
Right.
We have to conquer that hatred, self-hatred that we have, that envy and jealousy that we have within inside of us. And just let go and let Yah.
Yeah, I see it quite often, Contrail. That's self-loathing. I see it quite often on Foolsbook. Some of our brothers and sisters, title sake brothers and sisters, who like to give themselves titles, but they don't have any solution. They don't have any answers, mainly because they're not putting Yah's word first and foremost, because therein lies the antidote and the solution. But since they're leaning to their own understanding, I gather they could be the Datons, Korahs, and Abrams of today. But if we know in our studies, there's a price to pay. Truth be told, there's a price to pay.
Be careful what you ask for. Most I just might give it to you.
Exactly. Remember, Katya, before we leave this study, you remember when we studied in the previous chapters and it came back to haunt them? What did our brother and sister complain and murmur about? Oh, man, you mean to tell me you can leave us? You had to take us out of misery? Man, we was having a good death. All they was working us like Hebrew slaves. Man, you done brought us out here to die in the wilderness. What happened? What they said? The word to come out your mouth. Dying in the wilderness. As Christ was said, you better be careful of the words coming out your mouth. And the Most High said, for 40 years, your carcasses going to die in this wilderness. Until the last one of you die. Then I'm going to let your children go into the land because you ain't right. So contrary with Craig Wright, better be careful what comes out your mouth when it comes to Yah and everything, because here's what we always try to teach y'all. Y'all need to take, this is not Cottrell. This is not Yom Su. This is the Most High. You need to pay attention to details. You need to follow the specifications and the codifications. That's all. Cottrell, my brother and friend, what say you? If you don't have anything to say further in our study matter, and by mitzvah, we are looking for another lovely Psalms that you already got prepared in the study plan. May the Most High bless you.
Praise Yah. No more commentary on that, except remember the quails. They was coming out our nostrils.
We had so much quail, we was sick old quail. And plays came right along with it. I think, what is that, the bird flu? Be careful, Melly, with y'all playing, okay? Go ahead, Contrail.
Okay, we're going to go to the 121st song. And they call these Psalms of Ascension. So we're lifting our spirit up on high in order to connect with the Holy One of Israel, the Most High. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah, Contrail.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. My help comes from Yah, which made heaven and earth. Where'd your help come from? Science? Dr. Fauci? Donald Trump? Biden? My help comes from Yah, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Yisrael shall neither slumber nor sleep. So Yah's watching out for us, what, 24/7, 364?
You got it.
And he said, he's not going to suffer your foot to be moved as long as you what? Faithful, dedicated, you obey his commands, and you're not fearful. Those are the ingredients. Because Yah keeps us, right?
Exactly.
If I ask you to keep something for me, what you going to do with it?
I'm going to keep it. I'm going to put it up.
Right.
I'm going to make sure it's held in a good place.
So I don't get damaged. Because when I ask for it back, I want it just like I gave it to you, right? So, yeah. Yah's our keeper. He's not going to let us be destroyed. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prevail. And he doesn't sleep. The Most High watches us 24/7, 365. Yah is our keeper. Yah is the shade upon our right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Yah shall preserve thee from all evil. How much evil are?
Oh, not some of them, not half of them, not part of them, all of them. That's COVID-19. That's crazy universal right race supremacists. That's everybody. That's everybody.
All. Yah said all evil. So if you walk in the righteous path, there's no evil that can touch you, which is why you should never fear if you're walking the path of righteousness. You shouldn't be stressed out, in other words. Yah shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Oh, that's so beautiful, because we don't even know that Yah could preserve the soul. Even after you leave the earth, Yah could bring your soul back. So Yah could destroy your soul, or he could preserve your soul. Yah shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Wait a minute. You could only do that if you live forever. Forevermore.
Exactly.
And you can't do that unless he preserves your soul. So you might not understand what Yah is be saying. You got to catch it.
If you don't understand that component, which is a spiritual component, which is everlasting component, you could understand King Dawood saying, you know, he coming back here. Some of y'all think he ain't, but he here. He said he coming back here. The Most High.
To do what?
He said,
I will dwell in Yah's house forever.
Yeah.
Can't do that unless you come back.
Yeah.
Yah preserves or restores your soul.
For his name's sake.
Yeah.
You know, Cartrell, you know what I'm praying, brother? That's one thing that I do pray. And I pray like King Dawood, our king. And I ask the Most High, I said, Most High, restore my soul for your name's sake, like King Dawood. And I will give praises to your name in the great congregation, the great assembly. And
imagine
I mean
that.
That's a vow.
Imagine your soul is there with your ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the great men. Not just in the heavens, but on earth, in the physical. Knowing that that is the soul that you're dealing with.
Exactly. And I ask the Most High, and I'm going to keep my vow, contrary. The Most High restores my soul for his name's sake, just like King Dawood. I'm going to keep my vow. I will see you, Most High willing, in the great assembly, and you're going to Soup give me that vow. We talked about it on the Real Talk Real People show. Soup is under his vow. And I'm going to say, just like I talk on the Real Talk Real People show, I said, brothers and sisters in the great congregation, Yom Suf Harif like to make a vow and honor a vow that I made before the Most High. And on the Real Talk for Real People show, I like to give praise and honor and thanksgiving and bless his holy name for restoring my soul for his name's sake. All praises to the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Hallelujah. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, you got to be careful what you say, how you say it, and when you say it. And you need to start honoring your vows. You start taking your vows seriously with Yah and your vows with one another. And stop saying stuff that you know you don't mean. And you know you don't mean it, don't say it. And if you can't do it, go to the folks and say, look here, release me from that vow I told you. Because your words are important. And the words that comes out your mouth are very extremely important. I'm sorry, Cartrell. I do apologize. Go ahead, my brother.
What you said is important. And what comes out of our mouth is important. And there's something that's called affirmation.
The psalm is an affirmation. If you don't know what to say, memorize this song, this psalm. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from Yah, which made heaven and earth. And when you say that, that's the only thing that he's requiring of you, that you make him your help, because Yah is our help. What does he do in return? He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, Yisrael, because he chose us. And he's talking about our history, how closely tied we're supposed to be with him. But the fact that we rebelled and rejected him, he scattered us. But he's still keeping us, even though he scattered us. He says he neither slumbers nor sleep, watching, keeping vigil over us to make sure we're kept alive. Yah is your keeper. Yah is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So you ain't got to worry about that. You ain't got to, what they call that, melanoma? Getting spots and cancer on your skin.
Yeah.
And the moon can spite you at night. That full moon, my mother used to work in Bellevue Hospital. She said the full moon, the emergency ward is full. People losing their mind. That's why they call you a lunatic. It's connected to the moon. It has an impact and influence on the minds of people, which is why they make like horror movies with the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And the werewolf gets his strength at the full moon because they know that it has an impact and an influence.
Exactly.
So it's not going to smite you in a negative way like it may smite the wicked. Yah shall preserve you from all evil, all evil. So if you preserved by Yah from all evil, that means you're good. It means that he's preserving your soul.
And that means you ain't participating in no evil, okay?
Right. Right. You can't entertain evil and not be preserved from evil.
Exactly.
Because when you participate in evil, you're attracting evil.
Exactly. That's why I don't attract wicked people. Because I don't do wicked. I don't do lying, stealing, talking about folk. Trying to take for wives. I don't want a boyfriend. I don't want a girlfriend. I don't want to wear women clothes like some folk. Not me. I don't want to do anything that the Most High said you shouldn't be doing. And I want to clarify something. Jerry, I asked you yesterday too. Cartrell said I posed four questions to you. Let me answer those questions for you. The question I posed to you was, who was Moab and Amnon? Moab and Amnon was the sons of Lot's daughters, which is our kinfolk. They cousins. And they got hate for us. Always have, always will. But some of them, not all of them, because Ruth was a Moabite. And they looked something remotely like us. Who was Esau?
Whoa. You have to explain that. Because Lot went with Abraham when he left Ur of the Chaldees, he also was blessed with two nations, not just two sons and a family. His sons became nations.
Right.
Moabites and Ammonites, the sons of Lot, who became two nations.
Exactly. Also, the question I posed to you, Jerry, was who was Esau / Edom? Well, the namesake would speak for itself. Esau was Jacob's brother, oldest brother, had Anna against him. Because Jacob was a humble brother, when he came back from those travels, running away from Esau, he made amends with Esau. But part of Esau's innate nature was the animosity, because he felt that Jacob took his blessing, which in truth he did, but he gave it away. And so this bitter enmity between these two nations have been in existence from the very existence even before our nation. As you will see in our studies, how our brothers and sisters were coming back from Mizraim, which you would call Egypt. And we were trying to get free passage. But our brothers, they didn't want no parts of us. They put a threat on us. You come through here, you're going to know what's happened to you. And so, you asked about the so-called Jews over there in Israel. Some suspect that they're Esau and Edom. I'm one of those that suspect they are too, pretending to be us. And yes, they still have that bitter enmity between us. They are imitating something that they aren't because they felt we took their spot. Now they got the spot. And no, they won't be ruling us because of the fact there are two different nations. Esau going to have to answer to the Most High because of Edom's treachery toward Israel, his brother. Esau has always and will be our bitter enemies because Esau / Edom thought we took their spot. And therefore, they've always went against us. Whoever went against us, they went against them with them. They conspired and they still conspire against Israel, Yaakov. That's us. So I pose those questions to you because of the fact you need to know this. Not only do you need to know our history, you need to know the history of this nation. You need to know the people that's in relationship to this nation, the Moabites and the Ammonites, Esau / Edom. Then you can have some clear perspective of what's really going on. If you don't know, you won't know, and you'll be totally confused about everything. Oh, it's true. Cottrell, my brother and friend, what's your closing remarks?
My closing remark is the last verse of this 121st Psalm. Yah shall preserve your going out and your coming in. So when you go out your house, you got to say a prayer. When you come back in, you got to say a prayer of thanks. He says from this time forevermore. Why? Because he preserves your soul. So he gives us the gift of everlasting life. He puts the everlasting life promise in our midst as long as we're obedient, no matter what time frame we're living in, no matter what generation we're living in, as long as we're obedient to the Most High. Yah is our help. Yah is our shield. Yah is our keeper. Yah is our protector. We don't worship idols or follow false doctrines or religions or the ways of other nations. We have a great future. And I know our enemies, they say that we're on the extinction list, but I beg to differ.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Contreras. We've never been on the extinction list. We've been on the get-a-whooping list. We've been on a get-a-whooping list, get-a-beat-down list for 402 years. But we ain't never been on no extension list. I don't know what he get that for.
When you say that, I think about Muhammad Ali and
right.
That Everlast emblem that he used to wear on his trunks, Everlast. We are everlasting people.
Right.
Because we are Yah's servants. And we have to learn how to serve him.
Truth be told. And you know what? Yep. And fellow students, we said this and we study these things because we need to know these things. We need to know everything about us, everything about our history, everything about people that's related to us in our history. And we need to know it. And we need to know codes and specifications because the Most High is about codes and specifications and following the commands, where those commands are and how those commands should be done, and humbling oneself because you don't know. Yom Suf don't know everything. Cottrell don't know everything. But what we do know, we like to share it with you because we want you to have the same mind that we have. You don't know. And we're always learning. And when you get to the point in your quest and your soul restoration, that you think you know everything, you'll find that you really don't know anything. That's where humility comes into play. Moses had it. Aaron got it. King David had it. Because that is the grease. That is the cement that holds your relationship together with Yah. When you fall on your behind, it picks you back up. When you get beside yourself, it puts you on the right path. And when you need a new thinker, you'll get one. Because you know why? You'll know that you don't know everything. And you'll ask for a new thinker. Just like King David did. Imagine this. A man that took a man wife, sent him out to get killed, had a baby by, did a whole lot of choice things, lived a checkered past. That very man, the king, the Most High said, he's a man after my own heart. Not because of the wrong he did, but because what he tried to ascribe to. Because he didn't look for someone else to find fault. Well, the reason why I'm in this situation, because, you know, that woman's on the roof. I didn't tell her, come on the rooftop, get out there and get buck naked. And I seen her. Oh, that was Bathsheba's fault. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, that was her fault. She shouldn't have put me in this bad situation. And, man, if that guy had went and go to bed with that woman when I brought him out of the war, and then it wouldn't have been his fault. No. King Dawood was a man to say, hey, you got me. It's on me. Whatever you said I am, that's what I did. It ain't right. I'm crooked than a dog's hind leg. I'm going to make it right. And that being said, y'all, please forgive me because I need you. I can't make it without you. And I know my thinker broke, y'all. I know my thinker broke. And I need a new thinker, y'all, because I want to stick with you. I need you to stick with me. I don't need you to go nowhere for me. I need you to be the rock I'm standing on. I need to hide upon the pinions of your wings. I need you to be the shield I'm running behind. I need you to be the high tower I'm hiding behind. I don't need you to go nowhere. I know I'm wrong. So will you please, y'all? Will you please give me a new thinker? One that loves you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my brothers and sisters as myself, and that thirst after righteousness? Imagine this. That's the kind of man that y'all want. That's the kind of woman that y'all want.
That wasn't all he did, though. He accepted his punishment.
He accepted
he knew that punishment was coming.
Oh, it was coming.
He realized that he was the king, and him being the king, it went to his head. But he's an Israelite king. He can't do like the kings around him. He's an Israelite king, and he knew the standard that Yah had set for him, so he accepted his punishment and asked Yah to forgive him. So we got to accept our punishment and ask Yah to have mercy and forgive us. And get back in the good graces, just like King David did.
And Cartrell is so right. Because your punishment coming. Have you ever did something, brothers and sisters? Yeah, I'm super, Johnny. And you did something, you know you did it wrong. You knew it was coming from the Most High. You didn't know where. Just like Mama or Papa used to tell you, I'm going to get you when I get home. They might not have got you when you thought they were going to get you. But you had to go out and get that licking stick. And you got it. And they made it said, go out and get that switch for me. They might not whoop you right then. But you knew it was coming. You just didn't know when. That's how Yah is. Sometimes it comes quick. Sometimes it doesn't. But be assured of this fact. When you go against Yah, you're going to get a whooping. And accept it. Just like King David, our king, did. And get you a new thinker. Because the one you got ain't working for you. It's working on you. Contrary to any closing remarks, my brother and dear friend. And we will get ready to get out of here.
I'm just wondering if Jerry texted you the answers we posed to him yesterday.
No, Jerry got kind of jazzy with me. He said, you all know. I said, no, you need to know. He got kind of jazzy with me. Nah, Jerry, you know. You know what I know. So there ain't no escaping tonight, bro. You know what I know, okay? All right. All right, country. All right, fellow students. We love y'all. You know how you know we love y'all? Because we tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is the Most High truth. Not Cartrell's truth, not Yom Suf's truth, but the Most High. And it hurts, doesn't it? Well, get used to it. Take your whooping, straighten up, and get on the rock, get on the pinions of his wing, get behind a shield, and get in the high tower. That's the only thing going to resolve your problems. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Contreras, thank you, my brother and friend. Thank you, fellow students.
You can never tell what's in a man's mind. And if he's from Harlem, there's no use of even trying. Just like the tide, his mind comes and goes. weather when he'll change. Nobody knows, nobody knows. The man I love, well, he just turned me down. He's a Harlem Brown. Oftentimes I wish that I were in this ground, 6 feet underground. He idolized me as no other could, no, no. Then he surprised me, leaving me a note saying he's gone for good. Beauty shop, whole road system too, that made those girls angels without any doubt. There are some boys up in Harlem where I'm told it's sudden death. So let somebody see you, even stop to get your breath. If you Harlem, known as Drivers of Roller.